18th of June, 1936. Talk number 204. Maharshi on self-illumination. The I concept is the ego. I illumination is the realization of the real self. It is ever shining forth as I in the intellectual sheath. It is pure knowledge. Relative knowledge is only a concept. The bliss of the blissful sheath is also but a concept. Unless there is the experience, however subtle it is, one cannot say, I slept happily. From his intellect, he speaks of the blissful sheath. The bliss of sleep is but a concept to the person, the same as intellect. However, the concept of experience is exceedingly subtle in sleep. Experience is not possible without simultaneous knowledge of it, that is, relative knowledge. The inherent nature of the self is bliss. Some kind of knowledge has to be admitted, even in the realization of supreme bliss. It may be said to be subtler than the subtlest. The word vijnana, clear knowledge, is used both to denote the realization of the self and knowing the objects. The self is wisdom. It functions in two ways. When associated with the ego, the knowledge is objective, vijnana. When divested of the ego, and the universal self is realized, it is also called vijnana. The word raises a mental concept. Therefore, we say that the self-realized sage knows by his mind, but his mind is pure. Again, we say that the vibrating mind is impure, and the placid mind is pure. The pure mind is itself Brahman. Therefore, it follows that Brahman is not other than the mind of the sage. The Mundaka Upanishad says, quote, "The knower of Brahman becomes the self of Brahman." Unquote. Is it not ludicrous? To know him and become him. They are mere words. The sage is Brahman, that is all. Mental functioning is necessary to communicate his experience. He is said to be contemplating the unbroken expanse. The Creator, Sukha, and others are also said never to swerve from such contemplation. Then there's a quote from Tejo Bindu Upanishad, chapter 1, verse 47. Such contemplation is again a mere word. How is that to be contemplated unless it is divided into the contemplator and the contemplated? When undivided, how is contemplation possible? What function can infinity have? Do we say that a river, after its discharge into the ocean, has become an ocean-like river? Why should we then speak of contemplation which has become unbroken as being that of unbroken infinity? The statement must be understood in the spirit in which it is made. It signifies the merging into the infinite. Self-illumination or self-realization is similar to it. The self is ever shining. What does this eye illumination mean then? The expression is an implied admission of mind function. The gods and the sages experience the infinite continuously and eternally without their vision being obscured by any moment. Their minds are surmised by the spectators to function, but in fact they do not. Such surmise is due to the sense of individuality in those who draw inferences. There is no mental function in the absence of individuality. Individuality and mind functions are coexistent. The one cannot remain without the other. The light of the self can be experienced only in the intellectual sheath. Therefore, vijnana of whatever kind, of object or of the self, depends on the self being pure knowledge. Talk number 205. Mr. Cohen had been cogitating on the nature of the heart. If the spiritual heart beats, if so, how? Or if it does not beat, then how is it to be felt? Maharshi, this heart is different from the physical heart. Beating is the function of the latter. The former is the seat of spiritual experience. That is all that can be said of it. Just as a dynamo supplies motive power to the whole systems of lights, fans, etc., so the original primal force supplies energy to the beating of the heart, respiration, etc. Devotee, how is the I consciousness felt? Maharshi, as an unbroken awareness of I. It is simply consciousness. Devotee, can we know it when it dawns? Maharshi, yes, as consciousness. You are that even now. There will be no mistaking it when it is pure. Devotee, why do we have such a place as the heart for meditation? Maharshi, because you seek consciousness. Where can you find it? Can you reach it externally? You have to find it internally. Therefore, you are directed inward. Again, the heart is only the seat of consciousness, or consciousness itself. Devotee, on what should we meditate? Maharshi, who is the meditator? Ask that question first. Remain as the meditator. There is no need to meditate. Talk number 206. Mr. D.C. Das, a lecturer in physics at Allahabad University, asked, does not intellect rise and fall with the man? Maharshi, whose is the intellect? Is it man's? Intellect is only an instrument. Devotee, yes, does it survive man's death? Maharshi, why think of death? See what happens in your sleep. What is your experience there? Devotee, but sleep is transient, whereas death is not. Maharshi, sleep is intermittent between two waking states. So also death is between two successive births. Both are transient. Devotee, I mean when the spirit is disembodied, does it carry the intellect with it? Maharshi, spirit is not disembodied. The bodies differ. It may not be a gross body. It will then be a subtle body, as in sleep, dream, or daydream. Intellect does not alter. The bodies may differ according to circumstances. Devotee, the spirit body is the astral body then? Maharshi, the intellect is the astral body even now. Devotee, how can that be? Maharshi, why not? You seem to think that the intellect cannot be limited like a body. It is only an aggregate of certain factors. What else is the astral body? Devotee, but intellect is a sheath. Maharshi, yes, without intellect, no sheath is cognized. Who says that there are five sheaths? Is it not the intellect that declares thus? Talk number 207. Deep sleep is only the state of non-duality. Can the difference between the individual and universal souls persist there? Sleep implies forgetfulness of all differences. This alone constitutes happiness. See how carefully people prepare their beds to gain that happiness. Soft cushions, pillows, and all the rest are meant to induce sound sleep, that is to say, to end wakefulness. And yet the soft bed, etc., are of no use in the state of deep sleep itself. The implication is that all efforts are meant only to end ignorance. They have no use after realization. Talk number 208. It is enough that one surrenders oneself. Surrender is to give oneself up to the original cause of one's being. Do not delude yourself by imagining such source to be some God outside you. One's source is within oneself. Give yourself up to it. That means that you should seek the source and merge in it. Because you imagine yourself to be out of it, you raise the question, where is the source? Some contend that the sugar cannot taste its own sweetness, and that a taster must taste and enjoy it. Similarly, an individual cannot be the supreme and enjoy the bliss of that state. Therefore, the individuality must be maintained on the one hand and Godhead on the other, so that enjoyment may result. Is God insentient like sugar? How can one surrender oneself and yet retain one's individuality for supreme enjoyment? Furthermore, they say also that the soul reaching the divine region and remaining there serves the supreme being. Can the sound of the word service deceive the Lord? Does he not know? Is he waiting for these people's service? Would not he, the pure consciousness, ask in turn, who are you apart from me that presume to serve me? Still more, they assume that the individual soul becomes pure by being divested of the ego and fit for being the body of the Lord. Thus the Lord is the spirit, and the purified souls constitute his body and limbs. Can there be a soul for the souls? How many souls are there? The answer must be, there are many individual souls and one supreme soul. What is soul in that case? It cannot be the body, etc. What remains over after all these are eliminated must be said to be the soul. Thus, even after realizing the soul as that which cannot be discarded, the supreme soul must be known to exist. In that case, how was the soul realized to be the ultimate reality after discarding all that was alien to it? Should this be right, the soul which was described as that inalienable reality is not the true soul? All such confusion is due to the word soul, Atma. The same word, Atma, is used to signify the body, the senses, the mind, the vital principle, the individual soul, and the supreme being. This wide application of the word has given rise to the idea that the individual soul, Jiva Atman, goes to constitute the body of the supreme, Paramatman. Quote, I, O Arjuna, am the self seated in the heart of all beings. Unquote. From the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 20. The stanza shows that the Lord is the Atman, self of all beings. Does it say, quote, the self of the selves, unquote? If, on the other hand, you merge in the self, there will be no individuality left. You will become the source itself. In that case, what is surrender? Who is to surrender what and to whom? This constitutes devotion, wisdom, and investigation. Among the Vaishnavites, too, Saint Namalavar says, quote, I was in a maze, sticking to I and mine. I wandered without knowing myself. On realizing myself, I understand that I myself am you, and that mine, that is my possessions, is only you. End quote. Thus you see, devotion is nothing more than knowing oneself. The school of qualified monism also admits it. Still, adhering to their traditional doctrine, they persist in affirming that the individuals are part of the Supreme, his limbs, as it were. Their traditional doctrine says also that the individual soul should be made pure and then surrendered to the Supreme. Then the ego is lost, and one goes to the regions of Vishnu after one's death. Then finally, there is the enjoyment of the Supreme or the Infinite. To say that one is apart from the primal source is itself a pretension. To add that one divested of the ego becomes pure and yet retains individuality only to enjoy or serve the Supreme is a deceitful stratagem. What duplicity is this? First, to appropriate what is really his, and then pretend to experience or serve him. Is not all this already known to him?